Welcome, Christian Assembly. It's another day to declare the goodness and faithfulness of our God. Let's sing about it. 'Cause where can I go? Where can I flee to run from your presence? If I go up to the heavens or travel to the depths, you'll be waiting there for me. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, or I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand I know it will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Your love is higher than the heavens up above. It's farther than the stars are shining for. It's deeper than the ocean depths are deep. Oh, so limitless for me is your love. Where can I go? Where can I flee to run from your presence? If I go up to the heavens or travel to the depths, oh, you're gonna be waiting there for me. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, or I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand I know it will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Your love, it's higher than the heavens up above. It's farther than the stars are shining from. It's deeper than the ocean depths are deep. Oh, so limitless for me is your love. Here's the good news today. If I say that the darkness, it will hide me in my eyes, see nothing but the night. Even the darkness cannot hide me from your eyes. You are here with me. Even when I can't see, your love is higher than the heavens up from above. Farther than the stars are shining far. It's deeper than the ocean depths are deep. Oh, so limitless for me is your love. It's higher than the heavens above. It's farther than the stars are shining far. It's deeper than the ocean depths are deep. Oh, so limitless for me is your love.
There's only one who made the stars shining above. Breathe breath into man and brought to life his sovereign plan.
Showed unending love, giving the gift of his only son. Everybody sing. Now in each day he makes, he shows his power, he shows his grace. So what a wonderful privilege it is to stand here and say, that's my God, that's my God, who made the stars above. That's my King, who gave his life for me. That's my God. That's my Lord, whose mercy. stormy seas and calms the storms living in me. Everybody sings now, and each day he makes, he shows his power, he shows his grace. So what a wonderful privilege it is to stand here and say, that's my God, that's my God, who made the stars above. That's my King, who gave his life for me. That's my God, whose miracles have been seen. That's my Lord, we sing, whose miracles we sing. That's my God.
It is today. That's the God that we worship. We sung about his mighty works and his deeds in history, and we remember it today. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, the Bible says that our God is the one who was and is to come. So as we sing these songs every week, we have another part of the story of redemption to sing about. That's why so many times the Bible tells us to sing a new song unto the Lord. So if you feel like you're a little stagnated today in your faith, I want you to open your heart to a part of God's story that is bigger than you think, that is greater than you can imagine. And this last week, I was just so blessed by the family aspect of our church. I was passed a note from a dear friend, a dear sister, dear mother in the faith, who I've never met before. Her name's Alice, and she's watching from Beaumont, and she sent a message to us to let us know that she's watching, and I wanted to say, God bless you, Alice. Thank you for that encouraging note, and I want to encourage you, if anyone on the church staff or even just other fellow brothers and sisters, if they're encouraging you, it's powerful to tell them thank you for who you are, for what you do in our lives. And as we're going to continue to worship, he's the God who was and is to come. One day, the story of redemption will be brought to completion. One day, it will all be over. So we're going to sing this song. Leah's going to sing it. It's called Someday. One, two, three.
Someday it will all be over. Someday it will all be done, and we'll lay our heavy burdens
forever. What love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called His sons and daughters. We're precious in His sight. Greater love this world had never seen, when He hung on that tree, oh why would He do such a thing for dirty sinners like you and me? Oh God, thank you for loving me. When on the cross you made history, Lord, you died for me. Child and bear your name. Oh Jesus, I will never cease to sing your praise. And your love is patient and humble and kind. It's greater than all my sins. It always protects and trusts and hopes and will have no end. It's your love that lifted me up from the depths, set my feet on a solid rock with a firm place to stand. Lord, I always will trust in your loving hand. Oh God, thank you for loving me. When on the cross you made history, Lord, you died for me. Forever my praise will go to thee. Oh God, thank you for choosing me to be your child and bear your name. Oh Jesus, how wide, how long, how high, how deep, how endless is your love for me. How wide, how long, how high, how deep, how endless is your love for me. How wide. For loving me, thank you 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 for loving me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're a visitor guest, my name is Tom. What a joy to have you with us. I want to share an important and exciting update with our whole Christian Assembly family. As our management team and elders have been praying and watching all the health indicators and monitoring all the legal progressions as well, we have set May 23rd as the weekend that we will transition from outdoor weekend services to indoor weekend services. So that means that as of May 23rd, we will have no longer have an outdoor service at Village Christian School. The last weekend for that will be May 16th. When we transition indoors on May 23rd, Kids Church and Student Ministries will return indoors that same weekend and week as well. Our indoor services will have masks and social distancing and temperature checks as part of the mitigation and ongoing safety of our congregation. We're going to have to implement an RSVP system the first few weeks just to help us gauge who's going to be coming indoors with us. That will include both the weekend services, but also for kids as well. And the kids' church will be an RSVP opportunity. Our online services will continue as they have been, both for adults as well and kids and students as well. And I want to encourage you to check the Christian Assembly Los Angeles app as well as social media to stay informed on whatever social platform you might be on. A few other calls to action related to this. First of all, church, I'm going to call you to be and stay flexible. You've been doing a great job at this throughout this season. But as we step back indoors, as you might imagine, there's a million logistics we will be working through. So stay flexible as we're doing that. Our plan and hope is that we will scale up the number of services as needed to meet the number of people that are wanting to make the transition indoors with us. But that's going to take a little bit to figure all that out. So stay flexible. Stay prayerful. You've been doing a great job at this, but we want to be praying for the church and one another as we step back indoors together, that we would experience a great joy in that, but also a great unity as we make that transition as well. And lastly, of course, we want to stay on mission and on discipleship. We want to be disciples and make disciples as we've been doing, whether we've been outdoors, indoors, or online, whatever format that takes. But as of May 23rd, excited to share, we'll return indoors at our Eagle Rock campus for our weekend services. A few other things to let you know. Our next partnership class is coming up. So I want to encourage you to go through that class, whether online or in person, to make this church your church. Maybe you've been visiting Christian Assembly. Maybe you're new to the area. Maybe you've been part of our online services. You're wondering how to get connected, how God can use your gifts to impact your community. Partnership is the key on-ramp for that, and you can register for that online. Also, are you part of a life group? Life groups meet in person and online. They're going to help you grow in greater community and connection and grow in your followership of Jesus. I would say they're one of the best ways to grow in depth and followership of Christ. So whether you want to meet in person or online, I want to encourage you, don't be isolated. Go to our website to find a group or learn how to lead a group if you want to gather others as part of that. In addition, I want to encourage you to continue your giving online through our Christian Assembly Los Angeles app or our website. You can go to cachurch.com, click on the Give tab. You've been doing a great job at that. I want to encourage you to remain faithful in that. If you're a visitor guest, of course, you don't have to feel any obligation for that time. But those of you part of our CA family on a regular basis, I want to thank you for your generosity. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you how we've sung in worship, and even now as we give finances in worship, we thank you for your generosity. And Lord, as I'm excited for us to step indoors and make that transition on May 23rd, Pentecost weekend, we ask, Lord, that you would just bless our church with great joy and gladness of spirit as we make this transition indoors. Help us with all the logistics that are going to be part of that. Help us be flexible and prayerful and to stay informed and committed to you as part of our discipleship. We pray as a church family in Jesus' name, amen. Well, now let's continue in our worship today as we hear our kingdom update for the month of April.
Hey, church family, it's an honor to worship with you. On this kingdom weekend, we're thankful that Jesus was sent for us and how he also sends us out to be his witnesses. You know, after Jesus rose from the dead, he came to his disciples and said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus was sent for us, and he also sends us out to continue his mission through the power of the Holy Spirit. So think about how God may be sending you out this year to be his witness in your sphere of influence. Each of us has an important role to play in extending God's kingdom. This weekend, we get to hear from our kingdom partners, Al and Stacey Anderson, who were sent out by CA back in 2004 with Young Life. They started out in the Czech Republic, which is one of the most atheistic countries in the world, and have seen their ministry grow throughout Central and Eastern Europe. Let's check out their exciting update together.
Thanks, Scott. Like Scott said, we are Al and Stacey Anderson, kingdom partners working with Young Life in Central and Eastern Europe. We live in Prague, Czech Republic, with our kids Ellie and Jake, who are 9 and 8 years old.
Our mission is to introduce young people in Central and Eastern Europe to Jesus and help them grow in their faith. This is the mission we've had for the last 17 years that we've lived in Czech Republic. Our roles now really are developing European leaders who develop leaders. We lead the 6 countries where we have ministry in our region, and we are developing contacts to move into new cities and countries. Right now, we have ministry in Czech Republic, Poland, Romania, Bulgaria, North Macedonia, and Albania. In the fall, we'll start in Hungary, and already we have someone there developing young Hungarian leaders who are excited to reach out to young people as soon as they can start meeting in person. Some of the leaders we developed, we met just when they were kids themselves. Martin is one of the kids we met at camp in 2007. He comes from an atheistic family, as most kids in Czech Republic do. But over the years, coming to Young Life and conversations with his leaders, Martin met Jesus. 14 years later, Martin is now married, has a baby, and leads the ministry in Prague so that more Czech young people can meet Jesus. Marek was a volunteer leader working with us in Ostrava, and over time felt called to leave his job and begin working full-time with Young Life. Marek has moved from leading ministry in Ostrava to now leading ministry in the whole country of Czech Republic. When COVID restrictions ease, under his leadership, ministry will start in 3 new cities, and he already has contacts in 3 more cities that we hope to start a year later as we develop team leaders there.
Just like Marek is now leading the ministry in Czech Republic, our goal is to have national country directors in every country. Jozenka is one of our Polish leaders who began as a volunteer and has moved into full-time ministry, co-leading the area of Poznań. Jozenka is passionate about developing others, and I get to train her this year to be the country trainer for Poland. Another key goal is that every country will have all training materials in its own language, and training will happen in that language led by a national. Over the past few years, we've seen a lot of growth. And this past year, with all of the challenges brought on by COVID restrictions, we haven't met as many new kids, but leaders have been creative in going deeper with kids we do know. Please keep praying with us right now for encouragement and stamina for our leaders and staff. The COVID situation is still very serious in our area of the world, and many countries are still in strict lockdowns. We don't yet know what the summer will look like. We have 11 weeks of camp planned, but we don't know if we'll be able to have camps and activities in person with students. And we're awaiting the rules from the government in each country. So we appreciate your prayers as we continue planning and making decisions over the next months. Thank you, CA, for all of your support that helps make this ministry possible. We appreciate your prayers. Your support and prayers are having a kingdom impact in Central and Eastern Europe on the lives of countless young people there.
Well, so encouraging what God's done through Al and Stacey's ministry over these years. Thank you, CA, for the key role that we play through our prayers, giving, and short-term teams. Let's continue to keep lifting them up in prayer. Well, if you'd like to get more involved in our kingdom efforts, on June 12th, I'll be leading a training called Beyond These Walls. And you'll learn how to live missionally in your everyday life and how to be involved in some exciting outreaches happening this year. You can find more information and register at cachurch.com/kingdom. One of the ways we live missionally is by giving to the Kingdom Offering, which supports all of our partnerships and efforts that reach people outside the walls of the church, both locally and globally. You can give online and make sure to click the Kingdom Offering tab. Thanks so much in the way we link arms in God's mission together.
This week, we're jumping into week number 3 of our series entitled No Matter What, as we walk our way through a book in the Bible known as 1 Peter. 1 Peter is all about how to understand and then live in the light of what's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel was once described as a pool in which a toddler can wade and yet an elephant can swim. It's both simple enough to tell a child and yet profound enough for the greatest minds in all of human history to explore. Indeed, as we saw earlier in the series, even angels never tire of looking into it. Now, I think it goes without saying that we humans are by no means angels, right? I mean, but whether you are a spiritual toddler or a spiritual elephant, God has much to say to us as we explore all that God has done and is doing as taught by 1 Peter. So we're going to wade in or jump in, pun intended. And before we do that, let's pray. God, I thank you for the depth of your work through your word and the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. How what happened once for all time is relevant in every moment. So apply your word to us in this time, in our life. Speaking to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we pick up Peter's message in chapter 1, verse 15. It says this, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy." Now, let's pause there for a moment. If I told you that God's will for you is to be holy, how would that make you feel? Think about that for a moment. For some of us, or maybe even many of us, probably not that great. Because holiness is a strange word for most Americans. And for some, it's not very attractive either. The word can conjure up for some images of something that is sterile or boring with bright colorless light. Or maybe images of sanctimonious, prudish religiosity that's no fun. But all of that is because we don't really understand what holiness is in the Bible. Now imagine if I said to you, God's will for you is to be whole. Not fragmented, not fractured, not broken, but to make you well. How would that make you feel? Probably pretty good, right? Well, here's the thing. Holiness equals wholeness. In fact, the English word wholeness comes from the word holiness. That's where we get the word from. In the Bible, holiness is holy, perfect goodness. Holy, perfect love. Holy, perfect integrity. Holy, perfect justice. Holy, perfect goodness. And we're all attracted to that, right? None of us ever says, I hope that I get married one day and that my spouse is only partially faithful some of the time. I've done a lot of weddings, officiated a lot of them. No one's ever said that. We never say, I hope that my client, my coworker, my boss, my employee, my teacher is only partially trustworthy some of the time. Now, it's important to see here that God's command is not make yourself holy. No, the command is be holy, because I am holy. In other words, be what I have made you, because we do what we are. Now, holiness means wholeness, but it also carries with it a sense of being separated away from the ways of the world or our old ways of living. And the two meanings work together. Think of it this way. To be conformed and in lockstep with a world that you know is sick and fragmented and broken logically means that if you're in lockstep with it, that you would have to stay sick, fragmented, and broken. To experience and live out the wholeness that God is calling us to be and do, that will invariably mean that we will have to think and live and act differently than a culture that is renowned for its unwholeness. If God wants to make us holy, how then does that happen? Well, Peter tells us by saying this in verse 17 of chapter 1, since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not through perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Philosopher Soren Kierkegaard once said it this way, God creates out of nothing. Wonderful, you say. Yes, to be sure it is. But he does what is still more wonderful. He makes saints out of sinners. To be in Christ means that you're redeemed, that you're saved, that you're made whole, made well from the empty, fragmented way of life that is handed down to us by our cultural ancestors. And if you listen to our culture, you can hear people searching for a way out of the emptiness that we all sense apart from Christ. In fact, the hip-hop star Drake said in an interview, there was a point where I felt like I needed to keep the company of a different woman every night. I was trying to fill a void, he said. But after those moments of pleasure, I knew it wasn't working. But then the next day, I'd wake up and convince myself to do it all over again. Now listen, sex is good, and sex was God's creation and God's idea. And it's created by God for a man and a woman in the covenant of marriage for enjoyment as well as to be fruitful and to multiply. But sex was never intended to be something where we use others to try to fill our voids, even if they're doing the same thing with us. Or we can tempted to be think, well, listen, being popular is the key to filling that void that I sense. You can hear it if you listen in our culture. In fact, Katy Perry posted on Instagram last year this quote, 100 million digital singles and still insecure. Or maybe for others, you thought that you'd find wholeness by being the best in the world at something. Become the GOAT, and then you'll find wholeness. But in the Michael Jordan documentary that came out a while ago, here's a guy who is considered by many, or even most, to be literally the best there ever was at basketball, and it didn't lead him to happiness, but to emptiness and an unsettledness. Now, most of us have not had the financial success that Drake or Katie or Michael have had, but we all can have our own ways for looking for ways to patch up our heart holes and to fix our soul fractures. We can think things like this. Even if we don't articulate them, they're in us. We can think, you know, I just need one more drink. I need one more dollar. I need one more dessert. I just need to get even with that person. I just need to get high. I just need to get angry. And the list goes on. And sometimes we can even use good things to try to fill the void. Well, I just need to lose 10 more pounds. I just need to get a better grade on that test. I just need to get that promotion. And then that would fill the void. Now listen, stewarding our bodies well and doing well in school and work, those are all good things. But they are not what redeems us from an empty way of life. From here, Peter goes even deeper into the wonders of the gospel by saying this in verse 20. Christ was chosen, now get this line, before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. In other words, Christ's sacrifice for our sins, his plan for justice and to make us whole was not an afterthought, not a reaction, not something that God decided to do once the world began to spin out of control. This plan, we're told, was set in motion by the all-knowing eternal God long before the world was created. In other words, before you ever had a chance to sin, God already had a plan to save. Before you ever had the feeling of emptiness, God has a plan to make you full. Before you were ever fractured in a fallen world, God had a plan to make you whole. Author Dallas Willard once defined love as, quote, willing good for the other person. For those in Christ, God's love for you began before you were born and will continue long after you pass from this world as we currently know it. Peter tells us here that God our Father also judges all people's actions impartially. Why impartially? Because holiness is wholeness. So true justice has to be whole justice, not partial justice, not incomplete justice, not tainted justice. Now, there's two sides to this news that God will judge all people's actions impartially. On one hand, when I first learned this, it was a reason for celebration because it means that in the end, nobody gets away with injustice. But on the other hand, it's a little bit sobering because that includes not just other people out there, but each of us too, which can be a bit sobering if you're a person like me and you've not been perfectly just in all of your thoughts, all of your attitudes, all of your actions, throughout all of your entire life. This truth that God will judge each person with impartial judgment is all throughout Scripture, not only in 1 Peter, but there's examples, for example, in Romans. Romans chapter 2, verse 6 says it this way: God will judge everyone according to what they've done. He will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking after the glory and the honor and the immortality that God offers. But he will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth and instead live lives of wickedness. And then in verse 11, for God does not show favoritism. Jesus likewise speaks out in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, and says, look, I'm coming soon. And here it is, my reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. In other words, if you reject Christ, then you stand before the judgment seat without Christ as your defense. So then justice will be carried out against you in your case. So that means that you will pay the penalty of being separated from God and his goodness forever, because for God's justice to be true, it also has to be whole and be real. But on the other hand, if you come to Christ, if you place your faith and hope and obedience and life in Christ, you will also stand before the judgment seat. Only this time with Christ as your defense, with justice having been carried out against Christ in your case. Because God is wholly just, impartial justice must be served either by you for you or by Christ for you. Let that sink in. And it's that second option that shows that God is not only just, but he's also merciful. And when you think about how God's justice on one hand and his mercy on the other are united in his character in one seamless whole, it rightly should result, as Peter says, in us living in reverent awe and wonder. My youngest son is named Micah, in part because one of my favorite verses of the Bible, which captures this, comes from the Old Testament prophet known as Micah. Micah 6:8 says this: he has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy. You see those two attributes there again together. And to walk humbly with your God. With God's justice fulfilled by God's mercy made known in Christ. So then, the believer's good deeds are not brought forth as the basis of salvation. For we already just heard that only Christ's sinless life, as Peter says, quote, the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish or defect, only that alone can atone for our sin and save us. But instead, the good works that a person who's following Jesus does are brought forward not as the basis of salvation, but as the demonstration of the genuineness of our faith. Plus, they become the basis to determine the measure of the reward that you will receive in the age to come for your acts of obedience. And that way, what we do now genuinely matters and echoes in all eternity. You've probably never heard of the man named Wilbert Williams. He's not famous. He's not rich. You won't find him on Instagram. Still, Williams received an honor normally reserved only for the connected and the powerful and the wealthy. On December 2nd of 2004, the city of Chicago designated a street as Wilbert Williams Way. Now, what did someone as unknown as Williams do to deserve such a tribute? The question becomes even more compelling and curious when you realize that for nearly 40 years, Wilbert Williams has worked in the exact same job, at the exact same place, at the Women's Athletic Club, as a doorman. So what set him apart? For 40 years, he carried out his duties in an exemplary fashion. At his retirement celebration, a local police officer who walked that area, it was part of his beat, police officer Paul O'Donnell said it this way, "In all of these years, I've never heard him speak a harsh word about anyone. He's a true gentleman." Still others said that what set Williams apart was that he was known for living out the golden rule, doing to others as you would want them to do unto you. Williams became renowned in the neighborhood for his consistent kindness and service to others. You know, when I read that this week, it made me wonder, what would others say that they know me for? What would others around you in your life say that you are renowned for? Now, having a street named after you is impressive, but how much greater the honor that God promises to give to those who serve him well, an eternal inheritance, we're told, that will never spoil or fade away. Have you ever wondered, does any of this matter? Does anything that I do actually matter? I think most of us have had that thought. The good news is that nothing you ever do for the Lord, no matter how small, no matter whether others see it or not, whether others thank you or not, whether others honor or reward you for it or not, no matter what you do for the Lord, it is never wasted and it is never done in vain. So in light of this, how now shall we live? Here's how Peter answers that question in verse 22 and on. It says, "Now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, born anew, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all of their glory is like flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you." Now God is speaking here. He's using Peter to show us how the gospel heals our hearts and clears our minds. Here's what's going to last: God's will, God's word, and God's ways. And whatever you have done in alignment with those things, born of faith in Christ, will be rewarded. Peter breaks it down and he makes it really kind of rubber meets the road tangible for us. Holiness results in a wholehearted, deep love for one another. The word Peter uses here, deeply, it literally means, if you break it down, with every muscle strained. This is not a half-hearted, when I'm in the mood, if I have a good day kind of love. This is the kind of love that is self-sacrificing, considering others better than ourselves love, that we're called to. It's impossible without the gospel changing us, as Peter notes. The gospel of Jesus positions us to treat one another as royalty, but every other non-gospel positions us to treat one another as dirt. At the end of the day, how we treat one another horizontally as brothers and sisters in Christ within the church, as well as, I would argue, beyond to our neighbors and friends who maybe don't know Christ yet. How we treat one another horizontally reveals what we believe vertically in our relationship with God. I did a search on the phrase translated one another here in the New Testament. It's one word, but it's translated one another in English. It shows up 100 times in the New Testament. And Peter's command here to love one another is the most often repeated of all the one another commands given to Christians. Far and away, the most often repeated. One way to summarize this part of Peter's letter is to say it this way. If you died tonight, are you prepared to stand before the impartial judgment seat of God? And that can only happen being prepared through placing your faith in Jesus Christ, which I'm going to give you a chance to do at the end of our time. If you died tonight, that's a critical question. But there's another one too, which is this. If you wake up tomorrow, what will you do to love your brothers and sisters in Christ deeply, with every muscle strained from the heart because of the good news of Jesus? See, the gospel makes us complete, makes us whole, so that we can now love God and love others. And when I find my love is running a little bit cold, and honestly, I've found that in this season, as maybe some of you have, I find that I need to step back and I need to withdraw long enough for me to consider again the depths of which Christ has loved and saved me. Will not all of us who are in Christ be more patient with one another when we consider how patient Christ has been with each one of us in our own history and story? Won't we become more forgiving when we consider how forgiving Christ has been with us? Won't we be more encouraging when we consider how encouraging Christ has been with us? Won't we be more self-sacrificial when we consider how much Christ has sacrificed himself for us? Won't we become more humble with one another and in our interactions when we consider how humble Christ is with us? We can love because he first loved us. The other thing that helps me, just on a practical level, is that if I find someone irritating within the body of Christ, the truth is that there's probably someone else in the body of Christ who's thinking about how irritating I am to them right now as well. So that helps me a little bit. The writer Heather King is a recovering alcoholic who was once not a Christian but has come to faith in Christ. And she wrote this reflecting on her initial experience with the church. Here's what she said, quote, "My first impulse was to think, dear God, I don't want to get sober and worship with these nutcases." She said, "Nothing shatters our egos like worshiping with people that we did not get to handpick. The sheer humiliation of discovering that we're thrown in with these extremely unpromising people, people who are broken and misguided and wishy-washy and out for themselves at times, people who are us." She continues, "But we don't come to the church to be with people who are like us in the way that we want them to be. We come because we have staked our souls on the fact that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And that means that the church is the best place. It's the only place to be. But we all struggle to figure out what that means. We come because we'd be hard-pressed," she writes, "to say which is the bigger of the two scandals of God, that he loves us or that he loves everyone else." Will you pray with me as we create a space to ask God to apply this part of 1 Peter to our lives? The first great scandal of God is that he loves you and he wants to make you holy. Let me ask you, if you died tonight, do you know where you would be headed? Heaven or hell? God's justice is impartial. But also God's mercy is great. But that mercy is available only through the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, without defect or blemish, we're told. If you've never called out to God to save and redeem you from your sin, I plead with you to do that right now. Don't delay. Don't put it off. Don't dismiss it. Don't think you'll always get another chance. You can say, God, here and now, I ask you to save me, to turn me from my sin, and to turn me towards you. Apply all the benefits of the cross of Jesus to my case before your impartially and wholly just judgment seat. Your mercy in Christ is my only hope, but it's more than enough. Give me the new birth that 1 Peter speaks about into a new and living hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And teach me how to be holy, to be whole, to live whole, free to love you with all of me and to love all others as you teach me to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, if you made a decision for Christ today, please let us know. I want to be one of the first to welcome you into the family of God. Email us at decision@cachurch.com and we'll follow up, including getting a free copy of a New Believer's Bible into your hand as our congregations, our church's gift to you to help you as you grow into your new life in Christ. Welcome to the family of God. Now let's continue applying this message to others of us. For those of you who are already believers, take a moment and review your life this week with God's help right now. Where have you been compelled to live out the wholeness, the holiness that God has called you to? Where have you seen wholeness coming from your life? As you think about those moments, thank God for your victories this week. Times when you did live with a reverent awe. Times when you did live in a new wholeness that comes from being secure in God's love for you. Maybe as you're thinking, God's brought to mind or you've thought of some areas of unholiness. Let me ask you, will you do what you need to do to live out who Christ has died for you to be? Whole, complete, no longer acting out sin and brokenness in the empty ways of life. The second great scandal of God is that he loves everyone else. If you wake up tomorrow, that means that God is giving you a brand new day to love your brothers and sisters in Christ deeply with every muscle strained. And if we're honest, sometimes that's easy to do because the church is filled with some heroic and amazing people. But if we're more honest, sometimes it's hard to do because the church is also filled with some deeply disappointing and frustrating people. And if we get quiet for a moment and we're most honest, sometimes we know that at times we can be one of the ones, one of those disappointing and frustrating people that at times others are disappointed or frustrated with, or honestly, that we ourselves are frustrated or disappointed with. Father, help me. Help me, you can pray. Help us grow this week in humility so that I'm easier for others to love. And help me grow this week in my sincere love for my brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, Christian Assembly, I want to thank you for your love for one another, but I also want to call you to pray that God would stir that love up in even greater ways right now in prayer. Thank God for all the ways that he's given you a sincere love for each other. Thank God for all the ways that someone who's a brother or sister of Christ was patient with you and loving with you and forgiving with you. And then pray for one another. Pray that there would be a sincere and deep love for one another from the heart. Pray for those in your life group. Pray for those in your family, those that are your roommates or apartment mates. This week, as you think of someone, a brother, sister in Christ, family member, life group member, whoever it might be, tell someone who's part of this church that you love them. Sincerely and deeply from the heart. Don't assume that they know it. And even if you're certain they do, tell them anyways. And even better, when you tell them, find the way to show them that God-given, that God-given, whole, sincere, and deep love that God wills for us to have and to live in relationship with each other. That's who we are, because that's who Christ has redeemed us to be. May we choose now in joy and gladness to live that out with one another in Jesus' name. Amen.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me.
Let's sing righteousness.
Righteousness, righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. Righteousness, righteousness is what you want from me.
So this is our prayer today. Take my heart and mold it.
So take my heart and mold it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me.
So take my heart.
So take my heart. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me.
Thank you for being with us online today. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service, or even just recently, and would like to know more about what it means to follow Christ, let us know so that we can have a pastor follow up with you. You can email us at the address below or go to our webpage listed below as well. Let me close with this benediction. May God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you this week and always. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week.